Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. On tonight's programme, we'll be talking golf. Rossapenna are set to host the Irish Senior Open in 2021. We'll be hearing from John Casey. But it's another extremely busy weekend on the Gaelic Games front. Davy McLaughlin will be taking a look at this year's Donegal Senior Ladies Final as Glenfinnan and Termon are set to clash on Sunday, while Brendan Kilcoyne will be running his eye over the quarterfinals of the Donegal Senior Football Championship. So first up, we're going to start with golf, and Rossapenna will host its first ever professional competition in the summer of 2021 when the Irish Senior Open comes to Donegal. After a 12-year absence, the Irish Seniors returns to the county with former Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley as the host for the event. It's also the first time in 10 years that the tournament is back on the European Seniors Tour. Next year will be an exciting time for Rossapenna, who will also open their new St Patrick's Links, making the golf resort the biggest in Ireland. Following this week's announcement by Paul McGinley, I caught up with Rossapenna's John Casey.
Well, John, big news this week that the Irish Senior Open is coming to Donegal. It's coming to Rossapenna. It's huge news, and it's the biggest event that you guys down there are going to host, so it is.
Yeah, that's right. We've had a few major amateur tournaments down through the years, but this will really be the first time that we've had a major professional tournament, so we're absolutely delighted and thrilled that it's been hosted by Paul McGinley, who's got such strong Donegal roots.
Yeah, when did talk first start to surface in relation to bringing the event to Rossapenna?
Well, it actually started to happen late last year, and obviously this year's event, there was talk of an event this year, but that all fell by the wayside due to the COVID pandemic, so it's been quite a while on the back burner, but we're delighted now that it's been announced to the world's media.
Yeah. What course will be used for the event, John?
So it's going to be played in the old Tom Morris Links. Paul has a great affinity and affection for the old course. He grew up playing it when he lived nearby Dunfanaghy in the summers. He used to come across and play the old links, so he's a great affection for it, and he's really keen to have it on a major stage.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of work going on down at Rossapenna at the moment, but will you be altering the old links for the competition, or will it be staying as it is?
Not really. Just maybe some minor, little bits and pieces here and there, but nothing major. It's just up to our superintendent, Chris, and his team to get it into, top-class shape for the event and for the TV cameras.
Yeah. So then, obviously there'll be a lot of big names who have been around the professional golfing circuit for years are set to come to Rossapenna. I suppose the first thing is, Paul's going to be the host. Is he going to play that weekend?
I think Paul will play. Yeah. So the new Legends Stasher Tour is effectively, they've a number of ambassadors, that ex-Ryder Cup captains and Ryder Cup players and major winners that are all, going to come and play a certain amount of events each year. So it's brilliant for us.
Yeah, so we could see some former major winners possibly then in Rossapenna.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
It's great for the county to have an ambassador such as Paul McGinley. Obviously, his mum and dad's from the county, and Paul spends a lot of time here. And as I say, he's a great ambassador for Donegal, and in particular Rossapenna.
Yeah, we're delighted to have him. He was here a number of years ago for a shoot for Ballantyne's Whiskey, which forms part of his Twitter page. It's a picture of Paul standing looking over the back nine of Rossapenna. And he always says very positive things, even throughout the Irish Open, which was staged in Ballyliffin, a great event for the county. Paul also, put the focus on the other courses in the region as well, on Sky TV. So it was just a great showcase for Donegal at the time.
Yeah, it certainly was. Would it be right in saying maybe Rory McIlroy was the last big name to win a competition down in Rossapenna? Would that be correct, John?
Well, McIlroy did play in our Scratch Cup in 2005 and 2007. He won it on the first occasion. So, he was, Shane Lowry played here in some of our Scratch Cup tournaments too, and Graham McDowell visited here shortly after he won the US Open in 2010. So we've had some big names playing here, but it's great to get a kind of a tournament atmosphere here and have a field of around 60 pros play the course over 3 days and see who comes out on top.
Yeah. I know when you're looking at events, and this is the first major one for Rosapenna, and we could possibly see this as being building blocks to what's coming down the line. You mentioned about Paul showcasing, of course, Donegal, and we've seen what happened in 2018 with the Irish Open at Ballyliffin. But if we look at Ballyliffin's history, before that, they held the Irish Senior Open, and that was sort of the foundation and the building blocks which led to the Irish Open. Is that something that Rosapenna would hope to do maybe down the line, that if they have a very successful Irish Seniors, that the Irish Open could be next on the radar?
Yeah, I mean, you've John Farn's done great things in Ballyliffin and down through the years. I mean, they also had the Irish Ladies in the 90s, the Irish Ladies Open. They had the Northwest of Ireland Open, I think, in around 2002, and then the Seniors in what I think was 2008. So they were definitely, you know, building towards it, and that's something that we'll work towards as well, yeah. I suppose, as seen. And obviously, we've some great people in Donegal County Council that were very, very supportive of Ballyliffin bringing the Irish Open to the county, and are very, very supportive of golf and tourism. So, you know, it's definitely something that would be on the radar in the future. Whether or not we can make it happen remains to be seen, but it's definitely, you know, be a great thing for Donegal and Rosapenna.
Yeah. Was it something maybe the Casey family had talked about, John, when you seen what was happening with the Irish Open in Ballyliffin, and you were down there and you watched it and you seen what was going on the big screens, maybe that you had visions in your head that, listen, this is something that the area of Rosapenna and Downings and Carrigart could do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a fantastic event in Ballyliffin. The whole infrastructure, the parking, everything was so well done, and then the golf course just looked absolutely stunning on television. And you know, the nature of the event now, it can go to, you know, the more rural parts of Ireland. You know, they just create the infrastructure, the temporary infrastructure. So I think, you know, when you look at Letterkenny as a hub and the amount of accommodation in Letterkenny, and you know, even in the rural towns, and you know, there's a lot of accommodation in Downings as well. There's our hotel, you've the beach hotel in the Downings Bay, two very good hotels in the village. And then you've a lot of self-catering accommodation. So once you tick the box for the accommodation in the area, you're halfway there.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be another discussion that we can continue on another day. But the main focus now for the first professional event is going to be the Irish Senior Open. How difficult is that course, the old Tom Morris course, going to be for those that are coming to the event, John?
I suppose it's like anything. It'll just depend on how Chris sets it up. Paul had a number of meetings with Chris already. They're getting on terrible well together and working very well together. So it just depends, I suppose, on how difficult or how easy Paul would like Chris to set it up. You know, and in terms of, you know, growing some roughing or, you know, playing some back tees, it's just entirely dependent on what way they want it set up at the time. But that's the great thing about the old links. You've the options that you can make it, you know, relatively easy or pretty difficult. So it's just all depends on the weather as well. If the wind blows, I don't think we'll want it set up too tough, because it won't look great.
Yeah. Is there any indication yet of what date it will be that would like to host it, John?
It's in the month of August. Yeah. The dates haven't yet been released, but it's looking like the month of August.
Yeah. You're hoping for a sunny, non-windy month of August, John?
Yeah, well, it's a great time of year for us, yeah, because the latter part of the year definitely gives the course a chance to be in its you know, best condition, you know, for TV and for players.
Yeah, it's very busy down there at Rosapenna. Just how have you found the whole year of 2020? Because COVID has a major impact on be it sporting, be it tourism, be it business. How have you found it down at Rosapenna this year, John?
It's been okay. I mean, obviously golf, given the nature of the sport being outdoor, and it's a lot less risky than you know, some other sports. So golf's kind of doing quite well, I think, nationally and internationally. So from that point, it's okay. But though, you know, it's still the area is going to be a lot quieter now as we get into September, October. You know, we had a good summer. I think a lot of Donegal has seen a fairly good summer of people, you know, albeit, you know, it was difficult with the social distancing, etc. It's just a little bit harder to be in business. But, yeah, it was okay. I mean, when you look back to sometime in April, and we didn't know if we were going to be open or when we were going to be open, and everything was closed, the golf course, the hotel, absolutely everything in the village was essentially closed. It's pretty positive now.
Yeah, and you're hoping that the COVID thing is well and firmly behind us when we come to August of 2021?
Yeah, hopefully now. Hopefully things improve both nationally and internationally, and it's a more positive time for everybody.
Yeah. Also in 2021, you're due to open the St. Patrick's Link course, which we understand is going to be a fabulous 18-hole course. Where are you at the work at this stage of the year with it, John? And when did, what date do you have, hope to have that open for?
Well, it's just relatively small works going on now, and it's a lot of greenkeeping. Our greenkeeper up there, George, is just looking after, you know, ensuring growing on fairways and some, you know, light bunkering work and stuff like that. So it's quite gradual, the work now. It's just a matter of being lucky with the weather and toward the end of the year and the beginning of next year, and then hopefully we'll have some play there sometime in the middle of the summer next year. We've nothing set in stone in terms of dates. It's just a matter of getting the grass to grow and getting it into good shape and ready to go for sometime next year.
Yeah, what's going to make this St. Patrick's Links course different from the Tom Morrison and the Sandy Hills? Because obviously if it's a new course, you try to, I suppose, make them all different and variations on it. What's going to stand out about the Patrick's Links, John?
It's a fantastic piece of ground. You know, there's two great golf courses there originally, and they've used almost a kind of a hybrid of both courses and just worked across the land. And it's designed by an American called Tom Doak, who's designed some pretty spectacular and unique courses all over the world, from the Oregon coast in the United States to Tasmania and New Zealand. He's got some pretty famous courses. So he's done some very, very good work before on sandy sites that are by the ocean. So we're hoping that we'll create the same sort of a splash with the new golf course here at St. Patrick's.
Is this the first course he's done in Ireland?
This is the first golf course he's done in Ireland. He has a course in Scotland and he's a course in France, in Saint-Emilion. But this is the first golf course he's built in Ireland.
Yeah. How did you convince him to make Rosapenna his first course in this country?
We've known Tom for quite a while. We've known him almost 15 years. He's visited and he's very keen on the site, the seaside links, the terrain. You know, it's very, very natural terrain for a golf course. So it wasn't as much us convincing Tom, to be honest. Tom was very, very keen and we work well with him. So it's we're very happy with where we are.
Yeah, if you get that course open in time for the Irish seniors, it's going to be a tremendous summer for you guys down in Rosapenna.
Well, hopefully next summer's good for everybody and good for Donegal, and we can move forward, because obviously COVID, you know, put a lot of people, you know, sent a lot of things going backwards. So hopefully things can be more positive next year for everybody in the county.
Okay, exciting times ahead. Listen, John, thanks for talking to us. I'm sure we'll be speaking again on numerous occasions between now and the start of the Irish Senior Open, and the best of luck with your continued preparations for that event and for the St. Patrick's Links as well.
Thank you.
John Casey. Now on to Gaelic Games. It's another bumper weekend of club championship action. First up, the ladies. The Senior Decider is on this coming Sunday in McCool Park in Ballybuffet. It throws in at 1 o'clock, and the two old foes of Glenfin and Termon are once again set to clash. The winners of the championship over the last 2 years, Termon of course won it last year in the county, while Glenfin were into winners in 2018. This week I've been speaking to former Donegal senior manager Davy McLaughlin to look ahead to that game. And Davy starts by saying that he's been impressed with the high standard of football from the ladies this year.
I have to say now, first of all, that the standard of football in the ladies senior grade this year has surprised me, you know. People would talk about the big two or the big three, the Glenfin, Termon, Mavill. But I have to say Niamh Connell and Montcrana, you know, have kept themselves very well, particularly Niamh Connell now. And they're here to stay at senior level, and I mean, they put it up to any of the teams they played against. But ultimately, we've got down to the final now, and it's probably, as maybe people might have predicted, it's the two whole foes of Termon and Glenfin again.
Yeah, you of course have seen both of these sides this year. What's changed around both clubs for 2020?
Well, I tell you, that's an interesting question. Glenfin have a new management team in there. Paul Boner's in managing this year, so he appears to have taken a very focused approach in terms of what he's looking from the team, and he appears to have changed the style of play. They're very focused on scores coming from Kieran Guthrie and Yvonne McMonagall. And interesting, the last day now against Mavill, he dropped Katie Hearn back, and she seemed to play in a very, very defensive role. And that was probably to curb the threat of the two Neves, Niamh Higgerty and Niamh McLaughlin, you know, driving through the middle. And that worked, but they lost a presence in the middle of the field where you didn't have Katie Hearn being able to drive forward and maybe spray ball about. From Mavill's perspective, I mean, the first game they played was against Termon up in Termon, and they were beat comfortably in that game. But, you know, they put up a fairly spirited performance. But I think they realised against Termin that they could compete. So we played, Mavell played Glenfinnan in the second game, and Glenfinnan won that game by a point down Mavell after extra time. But again, I thought Glenfinnan were very reliant on that day on Cairn and Yvonne for scores. So look, what has changed? I think both teams are more focused, but maybe focused in a slightly different way. I think the upside for Termin is that they maybe have a wee bit of experience. Sean O'Donnell's on there in his second year managing the team. And the sense that I got from Termin in the game that I have seen against them in the flesh, against Mavell, and also the recorded game against Niamh Connell, is they developed a sense of patience. You know, they're not rushing the game. They were very frustrated against Mavell for long periods, but, you know, they won the game comfortably in the end. And in fact, against Niamh Connell, they were 2 points to one down after 16 or 17 minutes, and you wondered what was going to happen. But again, patience won through in the end, and they ended up winning that game very comfortably. So I think both teams have adapted, but maybe in slightly different ways.
Does that make Termin a better team this year than the side that won the title last year?
I have to say, I think it does. You know, we talk about this so often, when you have a player of the calibre of Geraldine McLaughlin, who, in my opinion, is the best full forward in the country, bar none. You know, you're always going to have a chance in any game. But, you know, I would have noted that, you know, a lot of the younger players are starting to come through in Termin now, and they're contributing in the game. They're not there just to make up the 15. They're actually contributing. They're working hard in the style of play that they have. And on that point, Termin still have 10, to my records, anyway, 10 of the players that won the 2014 Club All-Ireland and still playing. So, you know, there's a fair bit of experience there too. So I think Termin maybe just are the better team this year now overall.
Yeah. Obviously, we've seen Glenfinnan won the title in recent years, and they done well in Ulster, just pipped at the post, as were Termin last year. I've seen Karen Guthrie had said in this week's Donegal News that whoever's going to win this game will have a better depth and spread of options and not of having the most stars on the team. How would you look at that comment, David?
I think that's a fair comment, and I think I touched on that very much there with Termin in terms of what I see. There's a great breadth across their team, and in fact, I have to say Glenfinnan are the same. They were very reliant, and sorry to repeat myself, on Cairn and Yvonne for the scores. In fact, they were the only two scorers they had in the semi-final, but ultimately they were strong enough right across the 15 to beat Mavell, who harried them, you know, and battled hard against them throughout the entire game.
Yeah, so what about the matchups then? If you're going to win this game, what's the key matchups and how do you go about getting them right?
Well,
obviously, starting with Termin, Geraldine's the main threat, and we all know what Geraldine does. We'll begin with her then. How do you go about trying to stop Geraldine McLaughlin?
Well, you won't stop Geraldine. That's the first thing. I think you have to get that into your head. What you have to do is try and limit the damage that she can do and the number of scores that she will get. You won't stop her. I can only ever remember one game, which was an inter-county game against Cork, where Geraldine failed to score. So that's the measure of the gear. Look, if Termin are going to have to be, sorry, Glenfinnan are going to have to be very strong, and I think they're going to have to decide. They're going to have to put somebody like Katie Hearn, who's an experienced player, back to mark Geraldine, because if it's anybody lesser than that, Geraldine will turn them time and time and time again. And when she gets turned, there's only one place she's heading after that, you know. But leaving Geraldine aside, you have to bear in mind Bridget Gallagher has been contributing away at scores there. That we get Lucy O'Flynn, Kira McGarvey, a lot of talk about those two players, you know, and the scores that they're adding. But you have Roisin McCafferty and Roisin Phelan there, who will put the ball over the bar from 40 or 45 yards out and proved that against Niamh Connell in the semi-final. So they have a fair old breadth of scores.
If Karen Guthrie was to score 112 in a county final, could you say that would be the player that would win them the piece of silverware at the end of the day if that was to happen on Sunday?
I would think so, absolutely. But I don't think that'll happen. Karen scored 112 on Sunday past, but 8 of those were from frees. Now, they all count, ultimately. But I think, go back to the patience factor that I referred to in Termin, I think there's a wee bit more discipline about them this year. I in the style of play that they have, I don't think they'll be giving away cheap frees now on Sunday. But certainly anybody that racks up that level of scoring, you would have to tip their team to win it for sure.
Yeah. Can you see a hunger in Glenfinnan off the back of the disappointment of last year?
I think there's a focus in them, all right. I think they want to. Yes, I do. I think they really want to make up for last year. I think for the likes of Katie and Yvonne, who are heading back out to Australia, and maybe Karen, who certainly people would suggest is getting to the twilight of her career, although I'm not so sure. I mean, there's not many championships left in those girls, so look, maybe this is the time that and the year that they really want to see it through and maybe get over the line. But equally, I mean, Termon have been carrying that for the last 10 years as well. You know, we know what they're like in terms of hunger and ability, and they've not lied down handy either now.
Yeah. Just looking after the Donegal Championship, obviously we've got the intercounty season to come, and Ulster are looking to run a provincial club championship as well, Davy. Would you agree with that, would you, at this stage of the year and how the rest of the fixtures are going to pan out and given the current situation that we're in with COVID?
Well, look, I think COVID's here to stay, so I think we're going to have to get on with it in one way, shape or format. So, yeah, I think I would support it. I suppose the challenges or the difficulty is if it's a game in Glenfinn, nobody gets to see it. But if Glenfinn are playing up in Tyrone, well, sure, you can get 400 out to see it. And that's the difficulty for people, I think. But, yeah, I think we need to get on with it, unfortunately, because this is here to stay.
Yeah, and the inter-county season has to come as well. I don't know, maybe we could be moving our matches into the north, David, to get people in the mind. The man suggested to me this week.
It's funny, it's interesting nobody's actually come up with that or been brave enough to suggest it, but yeah, look, who knows. Yeah, the inter-county season comes around very quick thereafter, and the senior inter-county, the Ulster Championship, is very condensed. It's week after, I mean, it's literally over a three-week period from a preliminary round right through. So, I mean, there'll be no standing still, and if you pick up an injury, you know, God help you, I'm not sure you'll have time to recover. Yeah. But it's going to be a very, very condensed season now.
It certainly is. Okay, then finally, who are you calling on Sunday to lift the trophy and be county champions again?
Well, look, you probably would have put your money on both these teams being there this year. We've talked about the threats in both teams. I think the one thing that will be key will actually be the refereeing of the game, in that, I mean, the referee on Sunday played the thing absolutely to the letter of the law in terms of any contact at all. He was blown for a free, and whilst he was the same for both teams, Glenfinn probably adjusted to that slightly better. So I think the refereeing will have an impact on the game in terms of the style. But ultimately, I just think Termon have just that wee bit too much across the 15, and maybe even in the panel, you know, coming off the subs bench. I suspect they'll have enough, maybe by 3 or 4 points, would be my view.
Davy McLaughlin taking a look at that senior ladies final. Elsewhere this weekend on the ladies front, the Intermediate Championship plate final will see St Mary's Convoy against Ardra. The Junior A Championship final on Sunday is Killybegs against Downings, and the Junior A plate final will see Dunlow face off against Glenswally. On the men's front, there's Donegal Senior and Intermediate Championship quarterfinals and indeed relegation playoffs taking place this weekend. On the senior front, the action starts on Friday night with Ardra against Dunlow in the relegation playoff. That game has been held at the Donegal GAA Centre in Convoy, and it throws in at 8:30. The rest of the matches over the weekend at senior level are all quarterfinals. Two games on Saturday. Neave Connell will host Glenfinn at 3:30. Then at Townie at 6:30, it's Kilcar against St Michael's. Moving on to the matches on Sunday, Guidoor play McCool's at 3 o'clock. And then at the O'Donnell Park, it's St Eunan's against Reltonamara Bundoran at 6:30. All the Donegal Senior Football Championship quarterfinals will be live on Highland Radio this coming weekend. Earlier today, I spoke to Brendan Kilcoyne as we took a look at the last eight of this year's championship.
Well, Brendan, quarterfinal weekend in the Donegal Senior Football Championship. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty stuff now, so we are.
Absolutely, Oisín. You know, we're down to the last eight. There's no more back doors, comfort blankets. It's winner takes all in these four ties that are down for decision at the weekend. So, you know, that does definitely add an extra bite to it. There's no doubt about that. But listen, we've ended up with the four, what we'll call the big four, are going to be playing at home. They've all the advantages and they seem to have everything going for them. So, you know, they're going to go in as hot favourites, and it's up to one of the other teams that are coming up against them to knock them off the perch.
Okay, well, we'll look at the first one then. Davy Brennan Memorial Park is the venue. It's Neave Connell against Glenfinn. Neave Connell, obviously, finishing top of the standings, and it was an impressive display throughout the opening four rounds from the defending champions. Glenn Finn would be seen as one of the surprise packages, possibly, of the senior championship this year, Brendan. What's your thoughts as we head into the first game at Davie Brennan Memorial Park on that one?
Yeah, well, listen, Glenn Finn's championship really kicked off with a massive win against Killybegs. Killybegs would have been fancied going into that tie, and Glenn Finn really kick-started their season. Superb victory over Killybegs, and by all accounts, well-deserved. So they're really, really happy. They're going to be really happy, and Mark McGinty, the manager, is going to be really happy with the progress they've made this year to be getting into a quarter-final. Hitting themselves again against St. Niamh Connell. You know, we saw them play that game out in Glenswilly last year at the same stage. And Glenn Finn really put it up to Niamh Connell, so they did, for three quarters of that match. And it was only in the last quarter that Niamh Connell's experience was able to grind them through the result. But it was a very good performance from Glenn Finn. We saw that the pace and a lot of ability all over the field. But this is a massive ask for Glenn Finn going in against a Niamh Connell team, who I believe are a better team this year than they were last year. They seem to be really at themselves. They're on a determined drive to put back-to-back titles together, and that brings its own pressures. But they seem to be coping admirably with that. And, you know, you have to, you know, you look at the quality that's throughout this Niamh Connell team. You know, the young fellas that they've brought in have really rejuvenated the team. I'm talking about, you know, the likes of Omi Gedigan, and I know he's there a few years now at this stage, Jack McKelvey, you're looking at Nathan Byrne, these type players, and they really have added new spice to this Niamh Connell team. And you go back to last year's game in Glenswilly, and, you know, it was the first time we've seen Niamh Connell basically come out of their skin, and they were trying to play long balls into Kieran Gallagher, Nathan Byrne, in the edge of the square. So they've added another bow to their string, and the way that they play football, they would always been associated with playing defensive football, and they've mastered that, and they're really good at it. But I just feel over the last couple of years, they've become more offensive. They've added a few strings to their attack, so they have, and they really are a strong looking team this year, and with a mad pursuit of that back-to-back title that no team has done since the UC Junans 3-in-a-row team in the late noughties. So really interesting game. Oisín, Glenn Finn will go in with a lot of hope, but I just feel that Niamh Connell have been forewarned after last year's game. They won't be taking it for granted. And the fact that they're at home, you know, is a massive plus for, you know, a team that were unlucky perhaps not to win an Ulster Club Championship last year. We also look at, you know, the depth of their squad and, you know, the few players that didn't play an awful lot through the group stages. But you look at the quality of the likes of Leo McLoon, Brendan McDyer, Owen Wade. These guys haven't even, you know, featured that much for Niamh Connell. So they have to join the fray. Johnny O'Malley, these guys are all guys that will make a difference and that are experienced players and will add an awful lot to that Niamh Connell assault on this year's Dr. Maguire Championship. Now, all that mentioned, you know, Glenn Finn, we discussed and we mentioned that, you know, they've done really well together. There's no real pressure on them going down because no one really expects them to overturn this Niamh Connell side. But they have a lot of quality throughout the team, and Gerard Ward has been kicking frees over. So Niamh Connell will be very wary of the threat he possesses from frees and will need to be really disciplined in order to not concede too many frees inside the scoring zone. You look at the players like the Ross Marley, Carlin, Orme Glynn, Kieran Brady. They have players that can trouble Niamh Connell. And then they have Frank McGlynn, of course, too, you know, pulling the strings for them. But it's a big, big ask, Oisín, and it's hard to envisage any other result over Niamh Connell win in Davy Brennan Park, so it is.
Yeah. Do you feel similarly about what's going to happen at Towny? Are Kilcar maybe a better side than what they were last year in the Championship? St. Michael's, or minus Michael Langan, of course, are obviously going to come to Towny for the second game on Saturday.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the updated situation is on Michael Langan in relation to his availability for the game, but he's obviously a massive player for them. And if they have him, and if they had, you know, Colin McFadden, Colm Anthony, if they had these players available and fit, but, you know, it's been a strange campaign for St. Michael. 6 points after three games, really going okay. Now, granted, they were playing they'd beaten three teams in the relegation, half of the table kind of thing. But they, you know, did a big win against the Glen, and that kind of spurred them on. But they've been picking up injuries game by game since, and that has been inhibiting them. And, you know, it has to, I suppose, it's clouding my thoughts on whether they can put it up to Kilcar down in the picturesque townie on Saturday, but it's a huge ask for them. But, you know, they have a physical team, they have a lot of experience at this level. I think it really comes down to, are these players going to be available? You look at Kilcar, there's so much quality throughout the team. Yes, there's a perceived weakness in their full-back line. Barry O'Donnell has slotted in full-back this year instead of McShane, and, you know, he's a very, very good footballer, but he's not the tallest. And, you know, you even go back to the St. Junan's game. Junan's didn't really put any ball in on top of Pádraig McGettigan until later in the game, and they did manufacture a goal out of it. And you'd be wondering, would Michael be looking at this as maybe a way of getting at the Kilcar defence? But listen, this weakness is only, I've underlined the word perceived from the point of view, they haven't been conceding much, so they haven't. They've been very disciplined in defence, so they haven't. It'll take a real mammoth effort from St. Michael's if they were to come close to Kilcar. But I think the key for St. Michael's in this game is to keep it tight early on, to just stymie that Kilcar flow, because the fear with Kilcar is if they get the upper hand on you, they can run riot. They have the capability to cause trouble. You know, you look at the three McHughes, Connor Doherty, Andrew and Matthew McLean, the two McBriartys, Kieran McGinley. Like, there's so much attacking threats coming from all areas of the field. And that's what St. Michael's need to be wary of. And to try and keep it congested early on, they have a physical team, St. Michael's, and if they can keep it tight earlier on, perhaps they could put it up to Kilcar. But listen, Kilcar are favourites for a reason. You mentioned originally, Oisín, that they're in better shape than they were last year. I do believe that is the case. I do believe they're determined to regain the Dr. Maguire crown that they claimed 2 years ago. But it's, you know, they're a long way from doing that yet. Saturday will be another step in the way, and I would expect them to have too much for St. Michael's.
First of the games on Sunday afternoon is Gweedore against McCool's. McCool's certainly put it up to Gweedore in the second half of their game down at Mahragallan in round four the last day. They're going to meet again now in the last eight of the competition. But do you feel maybe that this is the stage now for Gweedore that they're going to start going up through the gears, because we're really into the serious stuff of the championship, Brendan?
Yeah, listen, the quality Gweedore have is, you know, it's there. We all know that. Ulster champions, you know, less than 2 years ago. I think the problem arose for Gweedore the last day when Neil McGee had to go off injured, and suddenly, you know, he just has that stature about him as the linchpin of that Gweedore defence. And when he was gone, they seemed to lose their way somewhat. There's also doubts about Gary McFadden, perhaps Eamon Collum. But Gweedore have been somewhat stuttering through the group stages. They haven't really set the world alight with their performances, but they've still been getting wins. They've been doing enough to get across the line, and they've so much quality all over the field. So they have, you know, the backbone of that under-21 team that won the Ulster Club Championship there a number of years ago. And these are the guys that are driving them on. But they are still reliant on the couple of senior players that they have. I'm talking about the Niamh McGee, Eamon McGee, Orr McNeilis, and Kevin Cassidy in particular. They give them structure. Kevin Cassidy gives them depth at the full forward line. And I think now that we are at the no-comeback stage, that we'll see a different Gweedore going into the next couple of weeks. And, you know, McCool's are going to be really happy, Oisín, with the progress they've made this year under Paul Rouse. They've been impressive. They're playing with the system. They know the system, and they seem to be really bought into it. And of course, they have Oisín Gallan, you know, real talent that is coming through the ranks. He's only 20 years of age, but they have more than Oisín Gallan. You know, they've Luke Gavigan, they've Marty Riley, Stephen Riley. They've good players. I think it'll be key for them that they get a couple of their injured players back. Gavin Gallagher, a.k.a. Fireman, would be great to have him back for McCool's this weekend, because he brings a bit of physicality to that team. And I'm telling you, go to Mahragallan, you need a fair amount of physicality, because it's a tough place to go. And Gweedore are always a big detail and very difficult to beat down there, so they are. But McCool's put it up to them the last day, but I think it was a case perhaps of Gweedore not at full throttle as of yet. I think now that we're at the quarterfinal stage, that they will have that extra gear to move in, and they'll have enough to get through this and make the last four.
Okay then, Brendan, you said that Mahragallan is a tough place to go. Is the O'Donnell Park going to be a tough place to go for Bundoran on Sunday?
It is, because St. Junans, you know, have an excellent record in the O'Donnell Park. And I know they have suffered a couple of turnabouts there in the last couple of years, but they have an excellent record there. Richie Thornton is doing a great job at St. Junans. You know, they've a really young forward line, but they're all really, really good players. And, you know, they also have that Sean Patton factor. Like, it's just unbelievable what he can do with his kickouts at times. And he puts other, like, Bundoran are arriving up to O'Donnell Park on Sunday, and they know that he is such a big factor on the game. He can go long. If you push up on the kickouts, he can go long over them. If you give him the kickouts, he's going to get it away, and Unions will build capably from the back. They have a lot of county men, ex-county men involved, you know, in their defensive division that have experience. Now, Conor Morrison is going to be a big loss. There's no doubt about that. He's a really, really good. He's as good a man marker as there is in the county, and he loves that role of being assigned the top forward on the opposition team. We saw him go head-to-head with Patrick McBrearty out in the park, and it was a fantastic. But it was worth watching in itself that evening, Oisin. And, you know, he was going to be tagged, I'm sure, with taking up Jamie Brennan. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, above all teams, Unions have plenty of defenders that can slip into that role. Whether they can do it as good as Conor Morrison is another question. But they have a lot of experience back there. And they have Peter Devine back in their defence this year too, who adds that bit of steel to their defence. Now, who's been, you know, Peter McNiff has been really, really good for St. Junans at wing half back this year. He'll be playing against his cousins on Sunday, but that won't deter Peter in any way. He's a very focused player. He just pops up in brilliant positions and is always capable of getting two or three scores as well as attending to his defensive duties. So, you know, defensively, we know Unions are very strong. They will need, because they're coming up against some quality players. And, you know, I've seen Bundoran playing a couple of times, and we go back to their game against quarter final against Gidor in the park last year. Now, I still question, did Gidor take their foot off the pedal that day? They were 8 points, 9 points up and cruising, Oisin, if you remember, with 10 minutes to go. But to be fair to Bundoran, they spotted the opportunity and went for it. And they really, really gave Gidor a massive fright that day. You look at Gary Clancy, Govorov, Timmy Govorov, Cian McNiff, who I'm not sure who was playing last year. I don't remember him if he was. And Jamie Brennan. And that's four really, really good forwards that will get scores for you if they're afforded the opportunity. And I was also impressed with their half-back line, Oisin, down in Terman when they played. You know, Oisin Duffy, Peter McGonigal, Paul Brennan is a really good half-back line and really looked really, you know, composed and settled, knew their jobs that day against Terman. And I thought that gave them the launch pad for that victory that evening. So it's going to be a massive ask for Bundoran. They know that coming up. But, you know, they've been tagged with this team now, or with the phrase of being they're outside the top four. And it's up to them to push on beyond that. And Sunday is an opportunity for them to do that. But it's a big ask going in against St. Junan's team, who have been playing really well. You know, the one problem they had was in the first half against Kilcare, when Kilcare ran riot. And they looked really open for a team that have such an experienced back line. So they need to tidy up that area of the game. But they have some prolific scorers up front, as we know. We've seen Nigel O'Donnell's brother come in, Shane, and he's been really good. Pádraig McGettigan at full forward. And then you've Owen McGeehan, Brian McIntyre, who has been really good. And, you know, he's a huge, puts in a massive work rate around the field, so he does for them. So they've loads of threats, so they have up front. Possibly lacking a bit of physicality, but they are very young and they are building again. And they are going to be looking to push on hard into a semi-final and see who they get in that stage. But it's a game that, you know, it's probably the one game of the four quarterfinals that you could possibly see an upset. But St. Junan's in the first half, when they played Rentlemara in the first round robin game, Oisin, went 10 points to one up. And, you know, if Bundoran afford them that opportunity, they'll not take the foot off the gears this time, so they won't. So Bundoran will need to come up very focused, the job they have to do. But I just feel that St. Junan's are going in the right direction and will have too much for them on Sunday evening.
Finally then, Brendan, you're not going to veer off maybe four home wins, are you, for this coming weekend in the quarterfinals?
Yeah, listen, Oisin, it's very hard to look beyond the four home wins, so it is. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about four teams. Their preparation is meticulous. These teams are training like county teams. They're putting their package together to get ready for these games as a county team would. So, you know, they're going to be totally focused. They know that this is last chance saloon, that there's no second bite of the cherry after these games, these quarterfinal games. It's very hard to see any of them slipping up. But therein is the challenge to the pretenders to the crowns. You know, the St. Michael's, Glenfinn, McCools and Bundoran have to start asking the questions of these teams to see if they can put one over on them. It's, you know, championship football, we know anything can happen. But if you would just feel that these four are that much ahead of the other teams at the moment, that it's hard to envisage anything but the four of them going back into the semi-finals as they were last year, Oisin.
Brendan Kilcoyne taking a look at the senior championship in Donegal. Let's move on to the intermediate football championship. The games start at 12 noon on Saturday. It's a Rua Ballyshannon and Nivora facing off in the first of the quarterfinals at Father Tierney Park. The second quarterfinal is on at 6:30 on Saturday with Clonhanely up against Red Hughes. That game being played in Fulcara. And the other two quarterfinals are on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Buncrana, who topped the table, are taking on Fanad, and Neve Columba will host Mallon in the other game at 5. Not forgetting about the two relegation playoffs. In Buncrana, at 1 o'clock on Saturday, Burt will take on Neve Columkill, and it's Neve Olton against Neve Breed at 2:30 on Sunday in Tyrconnell Park in Donegal Town. We're down to the last four in the Tyrone Senior Football Championship. The semi-finals are a doubleheader at Hayley Park, live on television on Saturday evening. The first of those is Trullick against Coal Island. Trullick, of course, are the defending champions. The game is due to start at 5:30. Well, then at 7:30, it's Dungannon taking on Errigal Cairn. There has been huge excitement in the Tyrone Championship through the course of the opening two rounds, and it'll be interesting to see if penalties will be required again to see who will decide the winners. The matches, of course, have to be ended on the evening. There's also semi-finals in the Intermediate Football Championship in Tyrone on Sunday. It's Greencastle against Gortsheen at 3 o'clock in Newton Stewart, and then in Des Moines at 6, Tatty Rea will play Eden Dork. The first round knockout stage of the Derry Senior Club Championship swings into action on Saturday as well. Up until now, they have been playing group games to determine their placings ahead of the last 16 round. The first game up is Owen Rua Coleraine, former winners, against John Mitchell's of Clody. That's in Dungiven at 2 o'clock. Then at 4 at the Loop, it's Newbridge against Ballanderry. One of the favourites, Glen, will take on Kilray at Glenullen on Saturday at 4, with Ballinscreen against Ballaghy at Celtic Park at 6 o'clock on Saturday. Four other games to come on Sunday in the Senior Championship last 16 in Derry. Former winners Schlochneil will start at 1 o'clock against 4 Glen. That's at Castle Dawson. Then at Glen, Loop will play Dungiven at 3. Swatro will meet Banagher at 3 o'clock in Ballinascreen. And the last of the games on Sunday, the defending champions O'Donovan Ross and Mara Felt are up against Lavey. And that one again is at Celtic Park. And on Sunday it throws in at 6 o'clock. Well, not forgetting about the big cup finals on the cricket front, which are taking place on Saturday as well. The 2020 Northwest Senior Cup will be decided as Brigade take on Dunamana. Beechgrove is the venue for that game on Saturday. And also on Saturday is the Samuel Jeffrey decider with Ballyspallan against Burndennet. Bridge Park is the venue for that game on Saturday. The Fohan Valley Cup final and the Eric Cook final are going to be played the following weekend. In athletics, we did of course see national titles won by a number of Donegal competitors last weekend, and there could be a few more this weekend. It's the National Junior Track and Field Championships at the Morton Stadium in Santry on Saturday, and then it switches then to the Masters Track and Field Nationals on Sunday at the same venue, and there could be some more national titles at both of those levels heading back to Donegal come Saturday evening, and fingers crossed on Sunday evening as well. Locally in soccer, a couple of the standout games this coming weekend in Inishowen. The Father O'Gara Cup final is on at McGinn Park in Buncranast, kicking off at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Clonmany Shamrocks are playing Rosheenie. The Voodoo Venue Cup final is on Saturday as well. Glencar Celtic are playing Cager Rovers Reserves. That game's in Ballyar and it starts at 1:30 on Saturday. And the Brian McCormick Sports Cup semi-finals are also taking place this coming Sunday, with Kildrum Tigers playing Kilmacrenan Celtic, and Capri Rovers are up against Bunnygee United. So we're going to have another very busy weekend, and you can of course follow all the action here on Highland Radio Saturday and Sunday. That's it from another edition for the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of it, you can of course listen back HighlandRadio.com just after the 8 o'clock news. Until tomorrow morning, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GAA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.